Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Best time to buy your holiday lights and everything you need to make your home the best-looking house on the block. Only at Ace. Offer valid through November 26th at participating stores while supplies last.
Coming up on the Gym Class, Kirk Ferentz meeting the media. Did Noah Fant come up? We'll let you know about that coming up on the program. Also, we're going to talk Iowa State and Texas with Westcott Everts from Burnt Orange Nation, and he will talk Texas football with us before that big battle between the Longhorns and the Cyclones coming up on Saturday. That and a whole lot more. Gym Class coming your way for Tuesday here on KGYM. We welcome you into the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM from our studios here on the sunny southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, just back from Iowa City. We'll talk about what transpired down at the Kirk Ferentz News Conference. We'll do that coming up here to lead off the program. We'll talk a little Texas football and plenty to get to on the program, including if you have now officially, if you have Le'Veon Bell on your fantasy football team, you may now cut him at this present time. But we start off with news from Iowa City. Was it part two of Kirk and the media going round and round about Noah Fant? We're going to find out that and other things from down in Iowa City. Kyle just back from the Kirk Ferentz News Conference. First things first, Kyle, Noah Fant was a no-show this morning, correct? As the players congregated to talk with the media.
He was. He actually hasn't been there a lot of times this season. I think if we're 10 weeks into the year, approximately, he's probably been there three or four times. So it's not necessarily out of the ordinary.
But it said nobody requested him.
Yeah, that
shame on the media.
It was portrayed to me that nobody requested him, and only a couple people requested players anyway. So maybe I'll have to take a little more initiative on my own. On my own behalf.
Kyle Mann requests Noah Fant.
No, they got right to it with Kirk today. Scott Docterman was not in town today, but the other guys, they got right to it, and they pressed him a little bit, and Kirk Ferentz, you know, basically said that, you know, it's going to sound strange, but he said that they want to try to get him the ball. They know they're a better team when they can get him the ball, find ways to get him on the field and all that. Didn't really offer an explanation as to why that's not happening outside of, you know, matchups and defenses are scheming for it and they're ready for it. And so they've just decided to go with different plans of attack. But, you know, he said all the right things, kind of, in the sense that, you know, they want to get him on the field just as much as the fans do.
He did say this, however. Two things. Number one, he said that the coordinators, and we knew this, and this is the way it is with all football programs.
Ferentz said this.
Kirk Ferentz said this, that the coordinators have the final say on the personnel on the field at all times. A lot of people, including myself, took that as, ooh, Dad throwing Junior under the bus a little bit right there. Also, he made the comment that Iowa has two good tight ends, said T.J. Hockenson was more of the all-around tight end, and Noah Fant was the specialist.
Yep, that's the quote. I want to go back and make sure that I get that word for word correctly, but it was pretty much that right there. He did come out and say that he thinks Hockenson is a more versatile tight end, and referred to Fant as some sort as a specialist or a special position. That's what I need to go back and get the exact wording on. But yeah, he called Hockenson a more versatile tight end and kind of referred to Fant as a gadget.
I get it. In passing downs and more downs than Fant played, and I think he only had 30-some snaps last week, he needs to be on the field.
This Iowa offense dictates that he be on
the field.
He
can't be a decoy on the sidelines. He's a dangerous weapon. I ask you guys this. Before last week, which tight end would you nominate for All Big Ten? going into last week?
I think the answer definitely has to be Hockenson. And I don't think in this whole conversation, the truth is that Iowa does have two really good tight ends. I don't necessarily think that the debate is Fant needs to be playing over Hockenson or Hockenson isn't good enough to be playing as much as he is. I think the question is more, why aren't they both playing a lot? Why are there, you know, other guys on the field along those lines? Max Cooper, I don't know if you guys heard, he actually got injured. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. So
I didn't see that, but maybe, hear that.
Maybe frees up a few more targets for Noah Fant. But, I think the concern with Fant is that it's not Fant versus Hockenson. It's just Fant needs to be on the field more, and that doesn't necessarily have to cut into Hockenson's time.
What changed, though, from the first half of the season when the two were out there just about simultaneously?
Kirk made the argument that when Fant is on the field, defenses scheme against him. Double coverage and whatnot, which I think is fine.
Great. Hockenson's open there.
Yeah. Exactly.
And when Hockenson's out there solo and Fant is on the sideline, you have things that happen. Well, now you got to throw in the fact that a wide receiver, Brandon Smith, was out, who is going to be back, it sounds like, for the Illinois game. Brandon Smith was out, so that took away one of your deep threats. Northwestern adjusted a little bit, which even makes more sense, in my opinion, and I'm not a football coach, to put, again, Noah Fant out there with T.J. Hockenson. By the way, the Iowa specialist in the latest big board that came out today is your 11th draft choice, if he so
Good
chooses
Lord.
To come out. 319-366-1600. As we come to you on this Tuesday, we are presented again by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Stop in to Third Base for a holiday treat. They are locally owned and operated. Great place to catch a quick lunch or after work, or bring the whole family for an affordable and delicious meal.
Is too much or not enough being made of this situation with Noah Fant? 319-366-1600. Now, I said Monday, and it's not a great revelation, but Iowa lost that game not because Noah Fant wasn't on the field. That would have given Iowa a better chance to win, probably. It was Iowa's inability to run the football.
And that's what Kirk said today as well.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. But I think a lot of things could have been alleviated if you put your best personnel out there.
I think Todd, on the Todd Bromkamp show yesterday, actually, he used a good word for it. This Fant thing, it's not nothing. But at this point, as big of a deal as it has become, it is a bit of a red herring where there are other issues with this Iowa team. Definitely, you can talk about the run game. You can talk about the secondary. You can talk about inexperience in the middle. There's a lot of things, but the whole thing with Fant, it's so obvious that, you know, he needs to be on the field more, and the explanations that Iowa is getting or, you know, isn't giving, just, it doesn't make any sense. And so I think fans are very confused. It's probably talked about too much, but that's not to say that it's not a big deal.
Couple comments on the text line. Bam Bam, this is a bunk explanation. It's officially a distraction to fans anyway. But I bet to the team also, I believe this deserves a much better explanation. He absolutely needs to be on the field way more, if nothing else, to open up the rest of them.
True.
8721, I don't get every other team in the Big Ten would die to have Fant.
And one more thought before I go cut up Kirk's audio is the explanation that Kirk offered in a teleconference this morning. He made similar comments just, you know, about an hour ago, is that, you know, as teams are aware of Fant and they scheme for him, they double cover him, and, you know, so the solution to that, to me, your best player, the other team is aware of your best player, as you would expect, and so they take them off the field. I'm just not familiar with that line of thinking because, as you pointed out, if he's double covered, somebody else is open. That opens things up all over the field. Even if Fant isn't necessarily getting the ball, he needs to be on the field. If that's the explanation that Kirk wants to go with, which is defenses are scheming for him too well, I'm just not familiar with the line of thinking where you just go, okay, well, let's just take him out.
Maybe the fairness to ask is Brian.
I think you're right at this point.
But he's not going to be available.
Thank you, Kyle.
To ask. Appreciate it, Kyle. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk some Texas football here in just a little bit. Westcott Everts is going to join us from Burnt Orange Nation. Love that name, by the way. And we will talk Texas Longhorn football as they get ready for Iowa State coming in on Saturday night. We'll also talk, we'll talk more about the Kirk Ferentz news conference today. And maybe we're just, are we making this too much of a deal? I don't know. You can let us know that later on.
Michael in Cedar Rapids on the text line. I don't think fans deserve a better explanation. I think Ferentz was a professional, and he gave a professional answer like he should. He shouldn't throw a coordinator or a player under the bus, and he didn't. He said all the right things, which is what you want out of a professional, decent man and football coach.
Which is why I ask, is this being made too much of? And why Kyle asked that a little bit ago as well. Other things to chew on today, is this another indication that Bill Snyder is going to retire? His weekly news gathering today, the players were not made available to the media. And there's a lot of speculation out there that just another indication that Bill Snyder is probably down to his final two games as a college football coach again. Went through this once, came back out of retirement when things didn't go well at K-State. But sounds like his game against Iowa State may very well be the final game of his career.
And hopefully it's on his terms.
I think so.
It would be.
And I would think that would be the case. Mark, are you ready for another bowl game?
Not quite, but fill me in.
We're going to have another bowl game.
Unless it's in Myrtle Beach, I don't care.
Myrtle Beach.
Ah.
South Carolina will be hosting a bowl game in 2020 coming up at that time. And boy, howdy, are we looking forward to yet another one. Although Myrtle Beach is a heck of a destination, I think it'd be better than Detroit or New York. Nothing against that last year, but it was a little chilly in New York. Myrtle Beach, beautiful place. On the coast, as long as there's not a hurricane or anything going through there, very nice place. But the Big Ten is not going to be in their plans.
Nor is the Big 12.
Nor is any Power 5.
Conference USA, the MAC, and...
I think Sunbelt.
Sunbelt.
Okay. Sunbelt will be in there. The field, we'll talk about this. The NFL may be, as we speak, changing plans for the huge Monday Nighter coming up this Monday night in Mexico City between the Chiefs and the LA Rams because of deplorable field conditions at the big stadium in Mexico City. They had a Shakira concert, Mark. They had a Shakira concert and tore the place up, the sod anyway. And they're trying to do their best to patch it together, but the NFL is not sure that they want, not me saying this, them saying this, the top two teams in the league going at it on a field that is very, 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 very questionable. And if you've seen photos of it, it's all over social networking today. It is bad.
Apparently, there's a decision to come down today whether that game will be played in Mexico City or in L.A., where, as we know, the air quality isn't that great either.
It's a Ram home game.
That is indeed. So maybe that news yet to come up during local programming here between now and 7. Let's squeeze in a couple more tweets here, or a text, I'm sorry. 9185, I think the same could be said about A.J. Epenesa. He's a 5-star recruit. Get him in the game somewhere. He doesn't play enough. 7657, it's about time the media takes issue with a coach's decision.
There you go. A couple other things real quick before we get to a break here. We got a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away as well coming up in just a little bit before 4 o'clock. People in Lawrence are actually thinking football. They are tracking a charter plane that has been determined is destined for Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Mark. Who lives in Baton Rouge that may be on the wish list of Kansas University for their football coach?
Less miles
that
lives
would be
there,
one
right?
Less miles. So they are in negotiations. And sad piece of news came out actually last night. And we said goodbye to the Silver Fox, 83-year-old David Pearson, one of the pioneers, if you will, of, well, not pioneers.
He liked
so
to sit
much
in the pole, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a good, darn good race car driver. Mm-hmm. He and Richard Petty went at it so many times over the years, but David Pearson passing away yesterday. One-time winner of the Daytona 500. I think three-time NASCAR champion and NASCAR Hall of Famer passing away. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk some Texas football. We'll put the Iowa story on the back burner for just a little bit. Texas and Iowa State, huge game Saturday night down at Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium in Austin. We'll talk about it next.
You have some mighty impressive power. Spend a dollar locally and bam! It returns an average of three times more to our community than spending it somewhere else. Buy here to have a direct positive impact on all of us. Here's some places to start. At the Early Bird, top chickadee Brooke Fitzgerald prides herself on creating a welcoming environment for all customers. A commitment to the community and world-renowned intelligentsia coffee and tea are a few of the perks. Pearson's Flower Shop and Greenhouses has a long history in Cedar Rapids, 90 years to be exact. Their two flower shops, greenhouses, garden center, and interior plantscaping make beautiful things available for everyone. All About the Stitch Custom Embroidery understands the importance of the details. They offer personalized gifts that are made to order, and they also create custom embroidered apparel for businesses. Use your power for good. Return an average of three times more to our community with the Buy Here program from the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance. At the gym, we're big fans. Hop on board and buy here.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
TCB Pool Hall isn't one of those joints with a table stuck in the back for atmosphere. Nah, TCB Pool Hall is legit, straight-up pool with 10 regulation full-size tables you rent by the hour. They've got a darn respectable beer selection, too, with 26 rotating taps and another 30-plus brews and bottles and cans. TCB isn't the place the kiddies play. You gotta be 21 to get in here. So skip the nonsense. Hang out, play pool, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the Pet Bowl, downtown Iowa City.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Love music? Live sports.
Trying to get to the corner and put out of bounds at about the 39-yard line.
Smart Rock on Smart FM. Smart Sports on KGYM. Love sports.
Here's the snap back. Stobie surveys the field, has all day, throws a swing pass caught by Stobie at the 10-yard line.
Live music. Lock us in. Smart Sports on KGYM. Smart Rock on Smart FM.
Back with you here in the gym class for a Tuesday here at KGYM. Iowa State women's basketball coming up tonight for you. The semifinals of the WNIT. Unbeaten 2-0 Iowa State will take on unbeaten 3-0 Auburn out of the amazingly tough SEC as far as women's basketball is concerned. Well, we've got it for you at 6:30 tonight. That will be on 1600 AM. Coming up on Saturday, we've got Iowa State football. The Cyclones head to Austin to take on the 7-3 Texas Longhorns. And to talk Longhorn football with us, we bring in Westcott Eberts from Burnt Orange Nation here on a Tuesday edition of the program. And I hope it's warmer in Austin, Westcott, than it is here in Eastern Iowa. Good afternoon.
Not a whole lot. It's about mid-40s, and the wind is howling, but the sun is out in Austin today.
That's balmy compared to what it is here in Iowa. Well, this is a huge game coming up for both of these teams on Saturday night. Some people are saying this might be, the biggest game in Iowa State football history. I don't know if that is the case, but it's at least the biggest one in over a decade.
Yeah, well, that's interesting to hear. You know, it's certainly a large game from the Longhorns' perspective as well. Both teams still have an outside shot at making it to the Big 12 championship game. The loser is essentially out of the running for that. And so, you know, no question, this is a big game. You know, Iowa State on a five-game winning streak. Texas now has won the most games that it has since 2013 and trying to definitely show some more progress this season, coming off of a close win at Texas Tech and then a two-game losing streak right before that.
Well, Scott, what's been the issue for Texas on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, there's been a couple things. I think it starts up front. Texas has some issues defending the outside zone against West Virginia and Oklahoma State. Their defensive line was getting kind of caved in on a lot of those plays. The linebackers were having some issues slowing and filling on those particular plays. And then they're having some problems with their gap fits on inside zone against West Virginia once they made an alignment adjustment to deal with outside zone. West Virginia started hitting them up between the tackles. They've had some tackling issues. And, you know, really I think a lot of the problems stem from they had some suspensions in the first quarter against Oklahoma State where they gave up a ton of yards, and then they've had some injuries. Junior safety Brandon Jones has missed the last couple games. P.J. Locke is banged up. Another cornerback is banged up. Devontae Davis, he left that game against Texas Tech. Brecken Hager dislocated his radius to Texas defensive end against West Virginia and wasn't able to play a lot against Iowa State. Had a big bulky brace on his right elbow. And so, you know, I think a lot of it is really just a lot of injuries, some issues that I mentioned, defending the run with their defensive front. And then also, you know, Texas has played some of the best passing offenses and best offenses overall in the country over the last few weeks. And, you know, it's tough to have success against those type of offenses when fans are expecting, you know, the Texas to hold a team to, you know, a handful of touchdowns.
Well, another one of those teams that has been moving the ball comes in on Saturday night with Iowa State. Have not lost a game since Brock Purdy took over as the quarterback for the Cyclones. What's Tom Herman have to say about this Iowa State offense and this Iowa State team?
I think Tom Herman has a lot of respect for this Iowa State team. You know, I know that I certainly do as well. Herman mentioned how impressed he's been with Brock Purdy and the way that he's played. Both managing the offense and protecting the football, but also being able to make plays with his feet, off-schedule plays, scrambling out of the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield, scrambling on the run, adding an element in the quarterback run game that Iowa State, you know, really hasn't had for the last several years. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, Tom Herman has a lot of respect for the job that John Heacock has done with the defense at Iowa State. And, you know, I do as well. They're the best defense in the Big 12. You know, Todd Orlando, after Iowa State came into the Big 12 conference opener against Texas last year and debuted that dime package, just kind of taking college football by storm. But Todd Orlando adapted that as well. That really fueled the strong finish that Texas had defensively last year, and it's been a big part of the package this year. Heacock has expanded on that package. They're much more multiple out of it now. So I think Herman knows that it's going to be difficult for Texas to produce explosive plays against the defense that, you know, has really been the only defense all year to shut down the West Virginia attack.
Yeah, as good as this Iowa State's defense has been, this is a very dynamic Texas offense, and it starts at the quarterback position. I think Westcott and Ellinger has been very, very good. And that, I think, maybe separates last year's team from this year's team. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Sam Ellinger was a freshman last year, a true freshman coming in. He was kind of in and out with Shane Buechele as a result of injuries for both players. You could really see a lot of his struggles show through with his late game decision making, where, you know, he was at least partially responsible for Texas losing a number of games. He was making bad decisions, you know, through two interceptions in the game against Texas Tech, interception in overtime, you know, against Oklahoma State, fumble in overtime against USC, all that type of thing. He's protected the ball much better this season. He's currently set the Big 12 record with the most consecutive passes without an interception last weekend. He's been much better standing in the pocket, being able to make plays downfield. His accuracy has improved as a result of his understanding the offense, some improvements in his mechanics. You know, but I think really just his confidence is at a different level, and that's been aided by having a wide receiver core that's really developed. Lil Jordan Humphrey, Colin Johnson, Devin Duvernay there, and an offensive line that's protecting them much better.
Well, you hit on my next question. By the way, we're talking with Wes Scott Eberts from Burnt Orange Nation here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Texas's receivers have really stepped up. Two of these guys over 50 catches so far. You mentioned Lil Jordan Humphrey, who's been terrific with 63 receptions, 7 touchdowns, but Colin Johnson's pretty good right on down the line. And when you got the weapons that Texas does, it's going to be a big, big, big challenge for that Iowa State defense this week.
Yeah, no question about that. I think one thing that really separates the Texas wide receivers right now is their height and their ability to go up and make plays on the football in the air, but also to be able to win one-on-one battles, you know, in situations like on third down when Sam Ellinger needs them to win those one-on-one battles against man coverage. Colin Johnson, not sure if he's going to play. He didn't play against Texas Tech last weekend. He tweaked his knee in practice. But little Jordan Humphrey really stepped up and had a phenomenal career game, including the game-winning touchdown catch into the same end zone on the same sideline in a similar situation as Michael Crabtree made a play against Texas very famously or infamously, I suppose, if you're a Texas fan, 10 years ago. And the other guy to watch out for, Devin Duvernay, the speedster who plays the Z flanker position for Texas. Texas really struggled getting him the football effectively on shot plays early in the year, whether it's Shane Buechele in the Baylor game or Sam Ellinger throughout a lot of the year. They're really struggling to connect with Duvernay. Ellinger has hit him with 2 big plays late in games over the last 2 weeks. And so, you know, he's a guy who's starting to have a better rapport with Ellinger, starting to emerge. And he's a guy that, you know, if Texas is going to produce a 50 or 60-yard passing play against Iowa State, he's probably going to be the guy who does it.
It's been many years since I covered a game in Austin, but it was a night game back then and took in the atmosphere. For those who don't know, night game atmosphere in Austin, what is Iowa State walking into Saturday night?
Well, they're going to walk into the 500th game in the history of Darrell K. Texas Memorial, Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium. So I think that will increase the atmosphere in the stadium. But, you know, really new athletic director Chris Del Conte has done a phenomenal job of completely revamping the Texas game day experience. They have a tailgating scene, Vivo Boulevard, out in front of the stadium. They shut the whole street down. They also have Longhorn City Limits. They have a couple of musical acts to play before the game. And they've revamped the student seating policies, decreased the number of advertisements on the video board and in-game advertisements. And especially the student support has really surged this year. So, you know, I don't know what the atmosphere was like the last time that you were here, but, you know, I think the atmosphere – and the home field advantage for Texas, which wasn't always there in previous years, it's really stepped up this year, and it's going to be a tough place for Iowa State to play on Saturday. There's no question about that.
How many Bevos in those 500 games? I didn't
How
expect.
Many Bevos? This would be, I think, 17.
17, okay.
I think this is Bevo 17, but don't quote me on that directly.
How's Tom Herman doing? We've heard so many times. I mean, the big line is, okay, Texas is back. I think Texas has turned the corner, especially after the Red River game this year with the win against Oklahoma. And I can't imagine there are a lot of people with a little bit of, I don't want to say heat or anything like that on Tom Herman, but he's on solid footing right now is what I'm trying to ask, I guess.
Yeah, I think he is. You know, the big thing for him last year was to get Texas to the point where they could avoid the type of blowouts that they suffered. They didn't play particularly well against TCU, but other than that, all the games were close. Certainly, Texas has played more close games than anyone else in college football this year. They've been able to win more of them. He's gotten the offense on track. The defense has taken a little bit of a step back this year, lost some key pieces, some of the issues that we talked about earlier. But recruiting is in a good spot. The facilities are being revamped. And so, you know, I think he's really done an excellent job of instilling his culture so far. And that's really starting to play out on the field. You can tell the difference in the way that, you know, these teams deal with adversity, the way that they interact with each other. This is a program that's unquestionably headed in the right direction in year 2 of the Tom Herman era.
Key matchups or storylines Saturday night that you're going to be looking at as to how this game is decided.
Yeah, well, for Texas offensively, the key this year has really been time of possession. They do have some excellent players. They haven't been especially explosive, though. And so what they've really done well is they've been able to grind on opponents. They had a 19-play drive against Texas Tech. When they controlled the time of possession, they've been able to win games. Defensively, Texas really struggled on third down in recent weeks. That's one area that Todd Orlando likes to point to as a key area for success in the Big 12. You know, a lot of times you're not going to keep opponents from scoring, you know, 30 or more points. You're not going to keep them from racking up, you know, 400 yards of offense. But it is really important to get off the field and then also to create turnovers. Texas wasn't able to create any turnovers in those two games that they lost against Oklahoma State and West Virginia, but they were able to create three turnovers against Texas Tech last weekend. That ultimately provided a major difference in the game and, you know, in that one-score win where Texas scored with, I think, 21 seconds left. And so, you know, time of possession offensively for Texas, third downs and turnovers on defense, those are really the three key areas that I'm looking at on Saturday.
Yeah, and big game between these two teams. There's still big games down the line to close out the year, obviously, and to get to the Big 12 championship. But winner of this one at least has a shot, while the loser, like you said earlier, is they're going to be on the outside looking in.
No question about that. I've been really impressed with this Iowa State team, what Matt Campbell has done, what John Heacock has done defensively, and certainly the rise of Brock Purdy. Has been fun to watch, so I'm excited for this one. And, you know, it's fun to play a game with high stakes against Iowa State.
Yeah, should be a good one on Saturday night. Westcott, appreciate it, and thanks for all the information, and have a good game down there on Saturday night.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Westcott Ebert's joining us here on the Gym Class from BurntOrangeNation.com. And Iowa State in Texas, 5 o'clock with the pregame on 1600 AM. Yeah, you can hear it on the radio. We encourage you to tune in to the radio broadcast. We encourage you to do that. Theater
Always.
Of the Mind, Mark. It's on the Longhorn Network, if you haven't heard that.
Another point that's been belabored.
What point has been belabored more, that this game is on the Longhorn Network or Noah Fant only played X amount of snaps on Saturday for the Iowa Hawkeyes? We'll have it for you at 5 o'clock, Iowa State in Texas with 7:05 kickoff from Austin on Saturday night on 1600 AM. Take a break. Come back as we go to break. Going to give you an opportunity to pick up a Dr. Pepper prize pack right now. Caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. You will get that Dr. Pepper prize pack. It consists of a 24-pack of regular or diet Dr. Pepper, your choice, plus a KGYM pint glass to enjoy your Dr. Pepper with, and also some Dr. Pepper prizes. 319-366-1600. Go ahead and give us a call. We'll let you know who our winner is. More of the Gym Class coming up here on KGYM.
Hey, Dave, what's with the dry erase board?
We've got so much to do before we open for the day, so I'm diagramming our game plan.
You just wrote help me and X's and arrows.
I know. We need help.
Here's a plan. Call Cintas. They'll check our fire extinguishers, stock our first aid cabinets. They'll take care of our floor mats and restroom supplies. And, of course, deliver great-looking uniforms.
Call Cintas. Great plan.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's has a huge selection of tools that pros turn to every day for every job. And with early access to Pro Black Friday deals, right now you can get up to 40% off select tools from DeWalt, Bosch, Hitachi, and more. Plus, save time by ordering ahead online, and your order will be ready for pickup in-store. Stop by the Pro Desk or visit lowesforpros.com for details. So, Pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 11/18. Selection varies by location. U.S. only.
If guests are coming for the holidays, get into the Home Depot and save up to 40% off appliance special buys, plus up to $500 in instant savings. Get a top-rated Maytag fingerprint-resistant dishwasher, just $448, and clean up by saving over $250. Get early Black Friday savings and up to 40% off appliance special buys. This is how the holidays happen at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. Must buys last. Instant savings require minimum purchase of 2 select appliances to qualify. See store for details. Valid through November 29th.
Napa Know How.
The only thing worse than rain and slush on the road is rain and slush on your windshield. Luckily, when you buy a pair of Rain-X wiper blades, you'll get up to $10 off, plus a free bottle of Rain-X 2-in-1 glass cleaner. So clean off the crud with up to $10 off a pair of Rain-X wiper blades and free glass cleaner. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer ends 12/31/18.
Congratulations going out to Craig and Marion. He is the winner of our Dr. Pepper prize pack for today. Another Dr. Pepper winner tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday here on the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. Matt Campbell also meeting the media with a lot less drama and controversy in Ames today. And they get ready to take on Texas. And we just talked with Wes Scott. The podcast, if you missed it, will be available coming up after the program at our website at kgymradio.com, the KGYM Radio app as well as our entire subject to change basketball schedule, which is up as of today for both the North and South Gym and sometimes North and South Gyms. And just tune in as we get closer and closer to the games to kgymradio.com and find out which channel, which frequency your game will be on. Looking forward to it. Gets underway, scarily enough, next Tuesday night. I remember when teams and when we were in school, we had at least 3 weeks of practice before you played a game. Now it's barely 2 weeks and you can go out and play a game. Of course, you have the summers now where you can be out with the team, etc. You have more time in the off season.
But well, Xavier's playing a state championship football game on Thursday. I'm not sure when the Saints open the basketball season, but it's going to be a week or less of practice for those guys on the football team going into basketball. And I think the Saints are kind of used to that by now, right?
Yes, I would say so. I would say so, and we'll see how that plays out. Yeah, some of those guys will only have about a week. Their first game, I know, is the 26th because we'll have the season opener for the Saints coming up on the 26th. And they take on Mount Pleasant in our first boys basketball game. By the way, our first girls basketball games come up next Tuesday night, and it will be North Scott at Kennedy. Girls action will be out there, and then it'll be in the Wamac, Clear Creek, Amana at Solon. And I think Jeff Moss is slated to call that one next week with Eric Peterson, and Steve Dozer will join me coming up next Tuesday, and Phil will be on, but a little bit of a lesser degree this year. His oldest daughter is now in ninth grade, a freshman at Marion. So
ran into Phil down out at Marion. It was great to see Phil again. And hope he enjoys the high school years because they go by fast.
They do. They do. So we got Denny Gettle's going to help us with some boys games. Phil's, of course, going to be on when he can. And then Zach Bohannon's going to help us as well with some of the boys games this
Excellent.
Year. So looking forward to that basketball right around the corner.
A lot of information at kgymradio.com, including our Emil's Hideaway poll question. We've got one today. If you hadn't heard, Le'Veon Bell had until 3 o'clock Central Time to report to the Steelers to make himself eligible to play this season and receive $14 million for the remainder of the campaign. He chose not to. So we ask you, did Le'Veon Bell do the right thing in sitting out all of 2018? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
As of this point, I say, yeah, I think both sides.
14, very large, though.
Well, he's going to get a lot more than that when he signs
True.
On the dotted line
True.
In the offseason. And I think that's what's going to happen. I really thought Pittsburgh was going to move him.
James Conner has been really good for the Steelers.
Yep.
And they're doing just fine without Le'Veon Bell. Enormous talent, I get it. But the Steelers going along nicely.
True. Very much so. We told you Les Miles is going to be headed to Lawrence because people are tracking charter planes going from Lawrence to LSU. You can't make this up. the Kansas contingent that came in to the airport came in on a non-public access road and got into the KU charter plane that is on its way to Baton Rouge, Louisiana right now. They aren't there to get gumbo or talk to Ed Orgeron.
No, not returning to Kansas for a basketball game either.
No, they are not. So they're talking to Les Miles. That's one of the worst-kept secrets out there. The other job that is available right now is at Louisville, and that, of course, the Cardinals have made a move and fired Petrino. Odds are out from Bovada in Las Vegas about who the next full-time head coach for the Louisville Cardinals will be. You can imagine who is the front runner, Mark.
Jeff Brohm.
He's 10-11 odds of going back to Louisville. Played quarterback at Louisville. Family's legacy at the University of Louisville. Been around forever. Neil Brown, Ryan Day, Brent Venables, Luke Fickell in there. And you can imagine who's right there behind all those guys.
Matt Campbell,
12-1. Matt Campbell is going to be up for every job from now till, April. After spring ball, they'll still have Matt Campbell going to other places. So we'll see how that all plays out. 319-366-1600.
Folks still texting about Noah Fant on the Hertzien & Stocker Jeweler text line. 8142, Kirk always sounds like a politician at his press conferences. 8142, Iowa's defensive coordinator would love any time a Big Ten offense would leave a threat on the sideline instead of having to defend him. And I told you during the break, I'm just sitting here wondering how our old friend Hayden Fry would have handled today's media conference.
Yes.
Boys, we're just trying to do the best we can.
Get our people out there. No, that's a bad
you
Fry impression.
Keep those poison pens to yourself. And
You're still bitter, aren't you? You're still bitter.
No, it'd be so much different. I don't know whether it would be fun or painful or what.
It just depends what kind of mood Hayden was in.
Of course, then Fry would probably be playing Fant 75-80% of the time.
Yeah, two stand-up tight ends out there. For the Hawkeyes, and that seemed to be the big story come out of Iowa City here today. We got to pass this along because it is breaking news, and apparently, according to Adam Schefter from ESPN, who covers the NFL, Chiefs-Rams moved from Mexico City to Los Angeles.
Good.
Due to poor field conditions at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City.
Good.
So when the Chiefs get bombed by the Rams, I have Shakira to thank for this. Now the Chiefs have to play on the road at the Rams.
I just hope Travis Kelce plays tight end quite a bit for the Chiefs. Otherwise, you'll have that going for you.
I think he will. So, yeah, again, breaking news. Looks like the Chiefs-Rams game has been moved, and it will now Terrez Paylor is also saying that he covers the Kansas City Chiefs and also a senior NFL writer. Sources are confirming the Monday night game has been moved to Los Angeles, and now it's blown up all over the place. So there you go. And this is from the NFL. They have a doctrine here. The NFL announced today it will move the Monday, November 19th Chiefs game. Chiefs-Rams game to Los Angeles. Which is too bad. I feel bad for the great fans in Mexico City that sell out that stadium. But if you're going to be dumb and have a Shakira concert just ahead of the game, that's not good foresight.
Not at all.
So I feel bad for those folks. So Monday night, Chiefs-Rams from Los Angeles. 319-366-1600 if you would like to comment on that. And again, thanks to Craig for calling in. He's the winner of our Dr. Pepper prize pack today.
8350 on the text line. Azteca is a terrible stadium anyway. Always throw garbage and bottles of something or another on U.S. soccer players.
I've never been. So I cannot comment one way or the other as far as that is concerned. I will have to take your word for it. I haven't even watched the soccer game from there. But, hey, they're not going to be playing
watch
football.
A football game
not
going
to be playing football there coming up on Monday night. So the Chiefs will go on the road to take on the Rams in that one. Mentioned Fant. We've been talking about that in the situation down in Iowa City. Mentioned the bowl as well. Mentioned Bill Snyder as well. And all indications are pointing, Mark, that it is going to be the final year for Bill Snyder down in Manhattan, Kansas. And like you said, you hope that Snyder goes out under his own terms. K-State not having a good season this year. Expected to be decent coming into 2018, but it just has not played out that way for the Wildcats. So you and I, we know Bill Snyder going way, way back, and you just hope that he can go out under his own terms.
Part of Aiden Fry's original staff and did some great things in Iowa City, and can't understate what he's done at Kansas State, turning that program around not once but twice, and that was no easy task. And not only turned him around, but Kansas State became nationally relevant for many, many years in football.
Well, and to a certain extent still are, even though the last 2 years have been down for Kansas State. And like I said yesterday, the last thing they wish Bill Snyder well. They wish Bill Snyder well. But the last thing Iowa State wants to do is face a Kansas State team that's going to be highly motivated. We're going to have Iowa and Iowa State's final games this year. And I know Iowa State plays Incarnate Word. I know that. Save your text. Save the tweets.
Maybe.
Maybe they play Incarnate Word, but who knows? Incarnate Word could be in the playoffs themselves. Iowa State could be in the Big 12 championship game. Who knows how that all is going to play out? I'm talking the last Division 1 AFBS game that Iowa State plays will be against Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Iowa possibly and will be facing a motivated Nebraska team, and you got Iowa State possibly facing a highly motivated Kansas State team with possibly a chance to go to the Big 12 championship game. I mean, that's not the way you really want to see it going into those final games.
So you'd rather it be at home?
Well, that's
for
true.
For Iowa State.
Well, for both.
For both.
For both. For both, actually. What do you think? 319-366-1600 out there. Talk about those two games, the Iowa State. Yes, we know Iowa State's got a big win against Texas this week. We're probably putting the cart before the horse as far as this is concerned. But, hey, that's what we do. We look ahead here in Sports Talk Radio. That's what we do out there.
How many targets will Noah Fant have on Saturday?
You want to really get into it. That could be the B poll question. How many targets will Noah Fant get? Now, what happens if Noah Fant comes out and Iowa targets him 20 times or whatever?
Fans will say, told you so.
The case may be.
Told you so.
Just dictated it. That would be the Hayden Fry response. You want to know what Hayden would do? That would be the Hayden Fry response. And then just give you that look in the news conference afterwards. And be looking right at you and some of the other guys.
No, it will.
What do you think there? What do you think there, dupes? All right, 3:51. We'll take another break, come back, and have more of the gym class after this here on KGYM.
You've been honing your group of friends for a long time, selecting and keeping the ones who add flavor to life and leaving the rest behind. Quality over quantity, always. The same way Third Base has been refining our brews for the past 20 years. Maybe that's the reason good friends come back together at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in over the holidays. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No, you actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And accepting the award for his department is, Dave.
This award means so much to me and everyone. From the interns we don't pay to the folks in legal handling my harassment suits, one very special person made this award possible, and that's me. Is that play out music?
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Back with me on the Gym Class, KGYM. And yes, Cyclone Tim, there is some speculation going around that K-State players are not happy with some trinkets that they were going to get, but there's also things swirling about that because of Bill Snyder's impending retirement, they have that going as well. 319-366-1600. Le'Veon Bell did not report to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's out, what, $14 million? Chiefs-Rams moved to L.A. on Monday night after it deemed the Shakira concert tore up the stadium too much in Mexico City. So a lot of things to ponder here on the Tuesday edition of the show.
Yeah, looking forward to tomorrow's show as well. Mark Ironside going to join us, talk about wrestling. We had Mark on last week. His appearance sponsored by Kurt Gustafson Insurance, and a lot of things to talk about with Mark in regards to wrestling and Bowling Night in America.
Yeah. That'll be coming up. Hopefully a better night.
Chris Liss as well.
Chris Liss will join us coming up as well on the program. Iowa Wrestling got off to a good start as they took down two opponents last Friday. Only lost one match in the two duels. So we'll talk about that and talk other things wrestling.
Iowa became the fourth school in wrestling college wrestling history to win 1,000 matches, joining Oklahoma State, Iowa State, and Oregon State, I believe, in that category. And Carver Hawkins is 35 years old this year.
Yes, it is.
The reason I say that, I saw a special on the first wrestling meet at Carver Hawkeye Arena, in which my good friend Tim Riley got the first win for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Really?
I believe, yeah. I think he was in the first match. It was against Oklahoma. But maybe revisit that at some point.
I still remember the opening of Carver Hawkeye Arena. It was scheduled to open prior to the 83 season. And
Delayed, right?
Yes, they had to play the first couple of games. The first game was a Big Ten game, men's basketball game.
Michigan State? Iowa
lost. Yeah. I think it was Michigan State. As a matter of fact, the Iowa-Minnesota big-time basketball game the year prior was supposed to be the curtain closer as far as the Iowa Fieldhouse was concerned. That Minnesota team that had McHale and all those guys, pretty darn good basketball team. And turned out it wasn't. They had to play a few more games before all the gals swooned at Steve Carfino. Women are still swooning at Steve Carfino to this day.
There are women listening to the program that don't know.
Have no idea who Steve Carfino was. The fine point guard for the early to mid 80s Iowa basketball teams. All right, we'll talk to Chris Liss. We'll talk with Mark Ironside coming up tomorrow. And the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next. 6:30 tonight, Iowa State women's basketball, the big WNIT semifinal against Auburn. 1600 a.m. We'll leave that at 6:30 for that ball game, I should say, tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Have yourselves a great night, everybody.